Healthy Catholic, Episode 11. Yes, you can be someone else entirely. This could be the start of a healthier you, a slimmer you, of a life with more balance, less stress, and more prayer. If that's your goal, this is your show. Become yourself the Catholic way and fight new energy every day. For a healthy heart, you've got to do your part, and we are here to help. Hey, all, and welcome to another episode of Healthy Catholic. It's been a while since we talked. I think the last episode was my victorious report on having completed my first marathon, and a couple of weeks have passed since, and I'd like to give you an update, and I'd like to talk about a topic that we might all be confronted with from time to time, and that is, how do you stay healthy when you're out of town, when you're on a trip or on vacation, like I was the last 2 weeks? What do you do when you don't have access to your own fridge, when you cannot control the ingredients that you use or the type of food that is available, when you don't have your workout equipment with you, when you don't have access to workout videos? How do you stay healthy? Well, let's talk about it in this show. And then, of course, towards the end of the show, I also have some feedback from you, and I would love to hear how you're doing. How is your health? Are you making any progress? You have anything that you want to ask? Do you struggle with things? You can all ask me by calling the listener feedback line at +1 206 202 4455. That is 206-202-4455. And please mention that is feedback for the Healthy Catholic Show, so that it doesn't get mixed up with the other feedback that comes in for, I don't know, the Secrets of Harry Potter or the Daily Breakfast. So let's go straight to the first topic: how to stay healthy when you're on a trip.
I'm going to get into shape.
Whatever you say, sweetie.
No, I mean it. I'm really serious this time.
I'll step over to the abdominator, and I will shout slogans at you. Push harder. Go past the max. Reach over the top.
Oh, I've got to keep trying. Oh, I'm feeling this.
What have you done to your stomach and your chest?
I have been working out secretly at night, and look at me now.
One of the keys to changing your life and to adopting a healthier routine is regularity and control. That's basically why we fail to stay healthy, or why we grow big. It's usually because we don't control ourselves. We don't control the food that we eat. And so if you want to change that and you want to adopt a healthier lifestyle, the first thing that you need to do is to start, you know, taking a good look at, what do I do? What do I eat every day? You start to develop new habits, for instance, and regularity is extremely important. It's not a very good idea to go on a crash diet for 2 days or 3 days or a week, and then binge again the week after that. And that is, unfortunately, what a lot of people do. They've got these, you know, the what they call the yo-yo effect, where, you know, you diet in an extreme way, and then you get so fed up with it that after a while you overeat in an extreme way. And, you know, that's only damaging your health even more. So one of the first things that you need to develop are solid habits, and the more regular you can live your life, the more chances you have to actually win and to actually become healthier. Because it's not just about something that you do for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It's something that hopefully you'll be doing for the rest of your life. It's a paradigm shift. It's a fundamental change in attitude towards food, towards towards your work, towards the rhythm, you know, your sleep and moments that you're awake. All that will change, hopefully, forever. And so control, regularity are, I think, two key notions when it comes to this healthier lifestyle. Now, regularity is one thing. Control is also control about, you know, what you put in your fridge. When you start to discover what food does with you, and which foods are healthy and which ones are not, and, you know, which foods are high in calories and which ones have a lot of empty calories, means, you know, you gain weight, but it's not giving you energy. The more you discover about that, the more you will change your habits when it comes to the supermarket. You know, you will buy different foods depending on what you want to reach. And if you want to, you know, change from, let's say, a McDonald's diet laden with... or loaded with fat and with bacon and cheese and white bread and lots of soda. If you want to change that into a healthier diet, then you will make sure that you have lots of green vegetables in your fridge and you drink water instead of soda and you eat nuts and fruit and, you know, all these whole grain products. And that is, that's going to fill up your fridge with a whole different inventory. Now, That is something you can do at home in your day-to-day life. It just depends on the choices you make at the supermarket. But what happens if you are put in a situation where you lose that regularity and when you lose that control? And I already mentioned in the introduction a situation where, for instance, you would go on vacation or on a business trip or you go visit people and suddenly you're out of town, you're not in your day-to-day rhythm, and... you know, even more important, you don't have control over you know what's in the fridge, because it's not your fridge, you know, and people might invite you to go along with them, and you might be tempted to switch back to a totally different lifestyle or to switch over to the lifestyle of the people that you live with and forget about your own healthy decisions. And so what do you do? And there are a lot of aspects. There is, of course, a very material aspect. You know, what do you eat? How much do you eat? How do you, can you, is it possible to establish some form of, you know, control or regularity, even if you're not in your day-to-day routine? What do you do with peer pressure? What do you do with, you know, the people around you that might expect you to follow exactly their life pattern, to eat what they eat, and to, you know, could to go to bed and to wake up at the times that they do? How do you tackle that? Or do you even bother? I mean, of course, the easiest thing that you can do is, well, I'm just going to forget about living healthy for the next 2 weeks, you know, as long as my vacation takes, or as long as I'm on this business trip, and I'll just eat whatever other people eat, and I'll just go back home, and then I'll reboot. It's an option, but it's a very dangerous one, because as I said, living a healthy lifestyle is hopefully not just something that you can only isolate in certain times of the year, like from like the month of January. That's usually when a lot of people, or let's say the first 2 weeks of January, that is where like half of the world is making a deliberate choice to live a healthier lifestyle, and then, you know, they fall off the wagon in the third week, and then in April they're like twice as big as they used to be. So a healthy lifestyle should actually start to change every single decision in your life. Also, when you're not at home, also when you're on vacation, also when you're on a business trip, also if you live with other people that might not have that same lifestyle. So how do you do that? Well, let's talk about not just theory, but let me just give you a very practical example, and that is my own vacation. 2 weeks ago, I went to the Czech Republic with three friends of mine, three colleague priests. They work in different parts of the Netherlands. One works in Rotterdam, which is the western part of the country. Another one lives in the south, all the way close to the German and Belgian border. And another one lives not far from where I live, so in the same archdiocese. Now, these three fellow priests live very, very different lifestyles. I mean, they have different characters, very, very different attitudes towards food, towards work, towards leisure. I mean, we're all working very hard, but, you know, some people just like food and love to cook and love to eat, and other people, they can work from 6 in the morning till, I don't know, 2 in the morning. And, you know, so there are huge differences, and also different levels of fitness, and some people do a little bit of sports, other people never do any form of physical exercise. And so I was going with that group to the Czech Republic this year. We've been to other countries before, and so you basically are forming a new group. You have a different group around. Well, normally I don't live with other people, so all of a sudden for 2 weeks you live with other people, and you have to somehow find your own rhythm in that and decide what you're going to do. Especially when it comes to, well, let's say the overall regularity. As I told you in past episodes of this podcast, I like to wake up early, and that's a relatively new thing. Even last year I woke up pretty late. Well, late 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You know, or at least I would be up and running, let's say towards 9:30, which is pretty late for regular people. And as you witnessed, if you're listening to these shows for a longer time, you know that I gradually shifted my time zone, as it were, so that I could wake up earlier at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would work for a couple of hours, study and pray and work out, and then, you know, I'd go to bed pretty early in the evening. Well, I knew, at least from one of these three priests, that he used to go to bed very late, and he would wake up extremely late. You know, he would be even later than I am, and, you know, he would work until 2 o'clock in the morning. So what are you going to do when you have to spend your vacation together, and you have projects that you want to accomplish together, like, you know, visiting cities, or, you know, just, you know, let's say, when do you eat? When do you have breakfast? When do you have dinner? My breakfast time normally is 5 o'clock in the morning. That's the first thing I do when I wake up. I make myself a cup of coffee. I eat a little bit, usually some oatmeal or you know, a sandwich. That gets the metabolism running. And then, you know, I pray for about half an hour. And that will give my body the time to wake up and start digesting. And then when I'm really awake, I start my workout routine. It's never a good idea to do that immediately after breakfast. And so, you know, 5 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock, I eat some fruit or some yogurt just to fill up the engine again. And then at 12 o'clock, I eat again. And then usually at 4, I eat a little bit of fruit or some nuts just to, you know, the idea is to keep the engine running. To what it does is when you have a very regular schedule when it comes to eating, and you eat a little bit every time, you avoid those rises and dips in your blood sugar. That's basically your body reacting to food. Have you ever had like a big meal? Let's say you're in a restaurant and you've eaten a lot of fatty food and, you know, potatoes and you drank a lot of soda, and then you crash afterwards. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. I could just so lie down here on the floor and sleep for 5 hours. You ever felt like that? Well, that's your blood sugar. That's exactly what happens when your body reacts to those spikes in nutrition. And what you try to do, spacing out the times that you eat, is to actually keep your blood sugar levels in a very stable. And so that will avoid you getting extremely hungry at one point. So it will avoid those cravings. It will also avoid those dips in blood sugar when you feel just completely wasted, and you need to drink lots of coffee to wake up again. And so I have that very regular schedule when it comes to, you know, waking up, going to bed, and eating at certain times during the day. Now, what do you do when you are on vacation with three other priests that don't live like that at all? You know, that might want to wake up very late and go to bed very late, and they might eat just three times a day, and, you know, the first time would be like towards 10 o'clock in the morning when I'm already starving, and they would eat, you know, at 9 o'clock in the evening, which makes you go to bed with a full stomach, which again is not very good, especially if you eat like a lot of carbs in the evening, like pasta or something. What it does is your if you go to bed right after that, your body will still be trying to digest, and carbs will actually prevent the release of growth hormone, which is not just a hormone that makes you grow, but it also helps you, repair your muscle, for instance, and it will actually slim you down. And the more you eat, especially the more carbs you eat in the evening, the less growth hormone your body will release during your sleep, and you will also sleep less deep. And so it's the deeper your sleep, the more growth hormone is released in your body. And according to scientific research that is extremely important when it comes to losing weight and slimming down and, you know, becoming stronger. What do you do when your friends are used to eating very late? Well, as everything in life, it's all a matter of negotiating. And I try to actually just talk about the life changes that I made. Of course, running the risk that I would appear to them as a complete health nut, because I have to be aware that they haven't seen this whole change in lifestyle. They still know the old Father Roderick, you know, the guy who would, you know, sleep forever and would eat at the most impossible times and would be slightly overweight. And all of a sudden, you know, I am like, well, not half the man I used to be, but at least 20 kilograms less the person I used to be. And instead of living like they live, I would, you know, let's wake up early. Let's eat only healthy stuff. Let's not drink alcohol. What is that going to do with our friendships? And so there was a little bit of apprehension in you know, starting this vacation with them. But, you know, during the trip to the Czech Republic, in the car even, I just told them a little bit about, you know, how fit I am now, or at least how fit I feel, and about the marathon and everything, and how great it is, actually, the advantage of waking up a little bit earlier. And it will give you more time. And I tried to lure them into adapting the same, well, at least getting used to that regime. And so I proposed, well, you know, you guys just do whatever you want, but I'm still going to maintain that rhythm as much as possible. And so I will try not to interfere too much with the choices that you guys make, but I hope that you will also take into account that sometimes I might not join you in certain foods that you eat or things that you drink. It's not that I want to be a party pooper, but I just want to maintain that regularity. I don't want to put my healthy life on hold for 2 weeks, because I'm going to regret it. Because I'm pretty sure that if I would do that, you know, I would come home, I would step on the scales, and things would turn pretty nasty. So allow me to try to maintain my own rhythm. And so that's what I did in the first few days. I woke up at 5 o'clock, which, by the way, was, well, actually not at 5 o'clock. Even before vacation, because of all the traveling, I was kind of out of balance myself. And so I used the vacation time to actually dial back the moment of waking up by 15 minutes. I think it's one of the listeners to this podcast who gave me that tip. I can't remember who told me, but anyway, that person said it's better, instead of just switching from, let's say, waking up at 7 and then the next day you wake up at 5, that's going to be a shock to your system, and it will take you a while to get, you will actually have a little bit of a jet lag, and it's much more easy for your body to process it if you dial it back 15 minutes at a time. So that's what I did. I gradually dialed back the moment of waking up to 5 o'clock in the morning. And it also helped that in the Czech Republic, it's actually the sun rises a little bit earlier than in my country, even though we're in the same time zone, but the difference was very noticeable. And so at 5 o'clock in the morning, the sun has just risen, I was sleeping in a bed, and above me was a window in the roof. There were no curtains, and so the sun just woke me up in the morning, which made it a lot easier to actually step out of bed. And then I would just try to do what I usually do here at home. I'll just read, I'll just pray a little bit, and then I would try to work out. And, oh, actually, before that, I would just get a little bit of oatmeal at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, what I noticed was that the fact that I woke up earlier actually motivated them to also not to stay in bed until 9 o'clock, you know, even though it was vacation. And so, to my great surprise, they all woke up relatively early. And the funny thing was that over time, they were all dialing back their clocks. And at one point, we all woke up at 5 o'clock, and we went together to the city of Vienna, which is not in the Czech Republic, as you know, but in Austria, but we were not far from the Austrian border. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, you guys are even more energetic now in the morning than I am normally. So, I don't know. By staying put and staying faithful to my own lifestyle, I noticed that the other guys were actually changing their lifestyle a little bit. The same is true for food, because we were in this cottage was actually a small farm that had been kind of refurbished and turned into a vacation home. It was very, very nice. We had the home to ourselves. There was a fridge, and so every day you go and get groceries. Well, I was usually going along with them because I wanted to have some influence on what we would be buying, which is, you know, as soon as you can get a little bit of control, why not take it? Why leave it up to other people to get your food? After all, you are the person who is going to eat it. So in this case, I just went along and I just made sure that we had oatmeal, that, you know, I my first thing was I'm gonna get healthier alternatives to the type of food that I know that they like. So, for instance, milk. Instead of letting them choose, I just took the 0% fat milk. And they didn't even notice. They did. I mean, they're not even used to reading the label. So I just took the best milk possible, the with no fat. And they had no clue. I made sure that I got the yogurt as a dessert. Because yogurt helps your digestive system. It you know, it's all sorts of very good stuff in there. And so I made sure that we had that as dessert instead of pudding or whatever sweet, fatty thing. Meat, I just ran to the chicken. And I kind of lured them into eating lots and lots of chicken. And it helped that we had this this little fireplace outside of the house where we could actually roast our own chicken. And so I told them, you know, instead of just, you know, getting these sausages and fatty stuff, because the Czech Republic, that's something that we gathered during our trip towards the Czech Republic. We were reading this tourist guide and they said, well, about the food in the Czech Republic, it's about the fattiest food in the whole of Europe. Because all these people work in the countryside, so their kitchen is even worse than the German kitchen, you know. It's very fatty, lots of sausage, lots of fat, lots of cabbage and potatoes and starchy food. And it was like, oh no, this is going to be a challenge. And so I told them, you know, we've got this fireplace. Why don't we roast our own chicken? And they were like, yeah, that's cool. That's really, you know, vacation in its best form when we roast our own chicken. And so I got to eat lots of chicken during vacation time. And it's delicious when you roast it yourself. And of course, the thing you need to do is to get rid of the skin, because that's where most of the fat is, and you keep the lean meat. Now, of course, it wasn't possible to find healthy alternatives to everything. Bread was kind of difficult. In a lot of countries, they only have white bread. I mean, that was my big challenge whenever I go to the United States. They just don't have regular whole grain bread. It's all this very processed stuff. It's all white bread. There's no nutritional value whatsoever. It's very high in fast burning sugars, which means you get this spike in your blood sugars if you eat it. And it's just very tough to find good bread in the United States. And the same is true for other countries, like in France. You know, everybody eats that white processed bread, and it's not good for you. Fortunately, after some searching, we did find some whole grain bread products, and it wasn't very tasty. I mean, that's something that they don't do very well over there. But fortunately, I did find oatmeal and muesli and that sort of stuff. And so, you know, I ate that instead. Let's see, what else did we do? Oh, of course, lots of vegetables. I made sure that we had lots of fruits and vegetables, and also stuff. And I kind of said, you know, let me cook for a couple of days. I love cooking. I've got some recipes that I want to try out on you guys. And so all that gives you a lot of control of, you know, what goes into your basket at the supermarket. And so I did pretty well. In terms of filling up the fridge with healthy stuff, and however, it was a bit difficult to control everything, and you know, I couldn't cook every evening, and part of the fun of being on vacation with friends is that you take turns in cooking, and sometimes you go out and you go to a restaurant, and then you have no control whatsoever, and you know, I figured sometimes you have to let go. And if someone else is cooking, like, for instance, one of my friends, he loves pasta. He's been living in Rome for, I don't know, 7 years. And so for him, there is no vacation without a good plate of great pasta, and then not the whole grain the pasta that I eat at home, but you know, the real white pasta, processed stuff. It's not very good for you, but very tasty. I was like, okay, I'll just eat a little bit of that. I'll just say, okay, that's enough for me. And so that's also how you can control. And this is also true when you are, you know, not on vacation where you can decide where you eat. But for instance, if you're on a business trip or you're with friends and they invite you to go to a restaurant. Now, they might take you to a restaurant where the food is not very good, you know. Now, what you can do is when they let you choose what you eat, go for the healthy stuff. Order fish instead of red meat. Or if they only have red meat, let's say you're in a steakhouse in Texas, order half a portion, or you know, or chicken instead, and then make sure that the chicken is not wrapped in bacon and cheese like I've seen a lot in Texas. Like it says chicken breast and you think, that's healthy, and then they bring it to the table and it's just covered in thick layers of fatty bacon, and they serve you like this ginormous potato. This is, you know, baked potato and gravy, and oh my goodness, like it's the poor piece of chicken breast. It's you know, the environment is anything but healthy. So make sure that you know, be very specific in a restaurant, and you can, you know. They love you to be their customer, so don't hesitate to order something that's not on the menu or to modify what's on the menu. As long as you pay, they're not going to complain. And so tell them to, instead of serving you French fries, ask for a salad or ask for, I don't know, some cooked vegetables, steamed vegetables. Ask them to grill your meat instead of frying it. Avoid anything that is deep fried. And, you know, even in that way, even if you're with friends in a restaurant that you might not have picked yourself, you can still control what goes into your stomach. And, of course, even in the worst case scenario where someone else, or let's all get, you know, let's all go for the ultra fat, high, super caloric menu choice. And we'll just order for everyone the same thing because we're all, you know, real people, and so we want to have real food. Imagine that you are served this plate with this huge chunk of red meat and lots of potato stuff. You're not obliged to eat it all. You can always fake that you're not hungry or that you're a little bit ill. I mean, I don't want to promote lying to your friends, but it's like protecting yourself. You can just say, well, I don't fancy a lot of food today. I don't know what it is. So I'll just eat half of it and I'll just ask for a doggy bag, and then I'll get to enjoy this great food tomorrow. So you can always reduce your portions, and that is also a way to control what goes into your stomach. Same thing with wine and beer. The Czech Republic is a country where they love beer. They have great, great beer. It's very well known. It's one of the best countries when it comes to beer. And I think the Czech population drinks, per capita, is that also an English expression? Where, you know, so per person, they have the highest intake of beer. And so, of course we want to taste that beer, right? But nobody is telling me that I have to drink a liter or a gallon of beer every day. I could just get a little bit or a small glass and go for the lighter variants. I mean, there's always like the low, low alcohol variant. And usually low alcohol also is low calorie. So it's like this light beer or diet beer. That's probably not how they call it. But there are usually, you know, several choices that you can make. When it comes to wine, a trick that I learned early on is when people serve you wine, just nip at it. Instead of drinking like five glasses, which is not a good idea anyway in any circumstance, you know, just nip and leave the glass on the table and nip a little bit. Nobody will notice. And then when they, you know, serve wine for the second time, you say, I still have wine, and nobody will notice. And so you don't come across as a party pooper. You will be drinking a glass of wine. You're not even obliged to finish the glass at all. People will not notice. And so there are a lot of tricks to control what you eat and what you drink. And And at the same time, you will not, you know, spoil the fun by, you know, asking for carrot juice when everybody else is drinking wine or beer. See what I mean? Anyway, so, and sometimes I have to say it's not easy because you have to live your life even during these trips and on vacation. You have to be very aware of what you do. So you have to, but you know, that's part of the lifestyle change. That's part of the paradigm shift. You want to live and you want to be in control and you want to be awake instead of just doing what everybody else does and grow fat and die early. That's not what you want. And so it is a little bit of a challenge to keep doing that, even when, you know, everything else around you tells you, oh, just relax. Don't stress. Don't, just leave it, you know, let it go and just do whatever you want to do. I think there's really value in trying to keep a grip on things. And I have to honestly admit, it's not easy and sometimes I fail. For instance, when we went to Vienna, one of the most beautiful cities in Europe, by the way, if you ever go there, it's an amazing city. And it's a city that's also known for its amazing food. Two examples. They've got what they call Kaffee und Kuchen, which is coffee with pastry. They've got this, I mean, there was this store, it was actually a chain of stores. We got this tip from one of our friends and said, if you want to have good coffee and good pastry, go to this. They've got these pink stores and pink chairs and everything is pink. And I forgot the name of the establishment. But anyway, you get, you know, it's very affordable. They've got really high quality pastry, good coffee. And so we sat down in the morning. And I was like, this is so typical for this city. You know, I'm not going to ask for, you know, a piece of dry toast when everybody else is having this wonderful chocolate pastry. And I could tell by looking at what was on display there, and you literally had like 100 different types of pastry, and all looked, I mean, oh, it looked so good. And it, you know, you enter the store itself, where you have to pick, first of all, you know, when you get the menu, I don't know what everything is, especially since it's in German, and I have no idea. So we first went inside the store and looked at all these different types of pastry and the names, and then, you know, I was like, okay, I'm gonna take that the what is it, the Wiener chocolate pastry, high calorie, whatever. And I'm not gonna ask for a piece of dry toast, but you know, at the same time, it's like, this is, I'm gonna regret this, or actually this is not good for me, but you know, I just did it, and I knew that the rest of the day we would be walking around in Vienna, and so hopefully I'd be able to burn it off. And you estimate. I mean, I'm so used to counting calories that I was like, okay, this piece of, and it wasn't even a very big piece of pastry, but it was all chocolate and it was very dense stuff. I estimated there were at least 600 calories in that one piece of pastry, which is tremendous. And, you know, but anyway, if you walk for 2-3 hours, you burn 600 calories or more. So, well, I was like, I'm not too worried. The problem was that at lunch, we decided to go eat the biggest schnitzels in Austria, and probably the biggest schnitzels in Europe. And a schnitzel is a piece of meat. It's usually pork or veal, sometimes even chicken. And they cover it in a layer of breadcrumbs and then they deep fry it. And so there's a lot of fat in there and a lot of meat. It was good, but I think that with that combined with the pastry in the morning, it was actually, the intake of calories was so huge that I don't think that I walked it up during the rest of the day. But I was like, oh, well, we'll see. And so the next day, I just ran a lot. And I made sure that I did extra physical exercise just to compensate for the excessive food the day before. And but I had some more accidents, you could say, with food later on. Especially in the evening, you know, when you're watching a movie and there is a bag of potato chips, even though I don't even like potato chips anymore, but it's so easy, you know, they're eating potato chips and they hand you the bag and it's like, okay, let's try. And it's like, yeah, no, I still don't like it. It's still way too salty, but you're eating it anyway. You know, so I despite all my efforts of controlling the menu, I didn't really manage to do it at every occasion. But the most important thing is, as long as you keep aware of what you're doing, and you know, even if you fail some days, instead of just letting, and that would be the old me. I was like, oh gosh, I ate that pastry, I ate that super wiener ginormous schnitzel, I'm just going to give up for the rest of the vacation. I didn't do that. You know, every day I try to make the same conscious choices in order to limit as much as possible the damage. And so when it comes to working out, another problem was that I am following this workout regime called P90X. I think I already talked about it. At least in one of my other shows, I talked about it. P90X is just basically a training video. For 90 days, you fall every day there is a routine, and every day you have to do 1 hour of pretty heavy duty exercise. I mean, this is not for beginners. You need to already be pretty fit to start P90X, and it's grueling. I mean, I've been working out pretty intensely in the past, but P90X is just killing me. Especially the first few weeks, I was just completely dead at the end of each session. Because it's, you know, it's like pull-ups and weightlifting and not just what I used to do with light weights. No, it's just a lot of weight. And it's hurting. I mean, right now, this morning, I did the same. I did the weight training and it's called, I think, what is it, arms and back? Well, that's exactly what now hurts. I mean, I cannot even type on the keyboard without feeling all my muscles ache because of the workout routine. Well, of course, I cannot take those heavy weights with me to the Czech Republic. It's not possible. I mean, I think I'm using two weights and it is 9 kilograms a piece. So that would be 18 kilograms. That is like twice the amount of luggage that I was allowed to take with me in the car. So let me see, 18 kilograms in pounds, in case you're wondering. That's almost 40 pounds. I cannot take 40 pounds of weights with me. So instead, I used resistance bands. Before I left, I went to one of these sports stores here in Amersfoort. And I was looking for resistance bands. You've got two types. You've got rubber bands, which are very cheap. It's basically a piece of rubber. It's extremely resistant. And what you do is, you know, instead of lifting weights, you pull the band. You pull the rubber, and it, of course it's resistant, so it has the kind of the same effect. Sometimes you have to modify the routine a little bit, but fortunately in P90X they give you examples on how to use resistance bands instead of, you know, these weights, and so I kind of had that in my head. And but the problem is, so these rubber bands, that is, I don't know, you can buy them for $2-3 a piece. So it's extremely cheap. You've got three colors usually. They've got yellow, green, and blue, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes even red. But yellow is the rubber with the least resistance, so it's very flexible. Green is a little bit tighter, and blue is you know, it's just very hard to pull. And so that kind of simulates different amounts of weight. The downside of those cheap rubber bands is that there is no handle. So you have to wrap it around your hand, but when you're putting pulling a lot or you're putting a lot of stress on that, sometimes my hands get sweaty quite quickly, and so, you know, sometimes it just slips from my hand, and you get it's like having someone with a rubber band and just it snaps and you're like, ouch. And so I was looking for in the videos of the P90X workout routine, they use not really rubber bands, but resistance bands. It's more like a cord, an extendable cord, and it has handles. And so I've searched and searched and searched, and finally I found these resistance bands by Nike, which I wasn't too happy about because Nike is usually is very expensive. And so these were like a rubber band normally is like $3 or $4. These Nike resistance bands were, I think, 19 euro a piece. So pretty expensive, but they have handles. And so I bought two types, one extra resistant and another one a little bit easier, lighter. And with those resistance bands, you could actually simulate a pull-up bar, you can simulate weights, and I was doing that every morning. Well, not every morning, but the days that are scheduled for a resistance training, I use those to do weightlifting, basically, resistance training. And so, I didn't want to interrupt, I didn't want to put my P90X routine on hold for 2 weeks, because if you don't train your muscles, if you don't do physical exercise, your body starts to lose muscle tissue, and because if you don't use it, you know, your body will react. Okay, I can use that tissue for other stuff. I can just eat it up, and or I can grow fat, no problem. And so you have to maintain that pressure on your body. And so so I was doing all those exercises, and it's kind of funny, you know. I'm like in the living room with those resistance bands, and it's tough. It's really tough. And so it's like, and then, you know, one of my friends, he just steps in the living room in his pajamas, you know, heading for the bathroom. And he's like, what are you doing? Oh my goodness, you're crazy. And just walks into the bathroom. I was like, yeah, I am crazy. I know this looks totally over the top, and they probably have never seen me like this, but you know, get used to it. This is just what I do, okay? And of course, you know, when they see me praying, that's normal because that's what they do. But when they see me working out, it's like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But anyway, so I came home, and after. The problem was the last day, and that was another that had well, I want to talk about it. The last day, the car broke down, and instead of leaving the country at 6 o'clock in the morning, we left at 6 p.m. in the afternoon, and so we drove all night long back home. Now I know that, you know, skipping a night is never good, but we had no choice. I had to be home for the masses in the parishes. And so we drove all night long, alternating. We each took our turns in driving. So I came home at 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to go to bed. I was like, I'll just go to bed a little bit earlier tonight. And so Saturday, not a real problem. Even on Sunday, I was reasonably fit. But on Monday, that's when the jet lag hit, and it hit even harder than the last time I came back from the United States, because basically I missed a night, and that is definitely causing a lot of it's really messing up everything. Your sleeping rhythm, your eating patterns. I was getting hungry at the most impossible times, and so it was the first. Exciting but also very daunting moment was when I stepped on the scales again after 2 weeks. And I did that, I think, on Sunday morning after, you know, I usually weigh in early in the morning. It's the first thing I do. And so I stepped on the scales. I was like, whoa, this is good. No problem, man. with all that beer and all that, you know, all the sausages and stuff, and all the good Viennese pastry, I only gained 1 kilogram. That's basically, well, 2 pounds. So instead of weighing 68 kilograms, I saw 69 on the scales. So that's 152 pounds in American metric, in the American system. 152 pounds. That's pretty easy. I've lost 2 pounds a week in the past, so, you know, I'll be rid of that in no time. However, a day later, on Monday morning, I step on the scales, and suddenly, 78 kilograms! Oh my lord! That is like 6 or 7 pounds more than... So I was like, what? What has happened? Did I just gain 4 pounds in one day? I just couldn't believe it. And so I suddenly weighed 156.5 pounds. You know, my target weight has always been 149, 150, and you witnessed how hard I worked to get there. And so I was like, I can't believe this. Well, sitting down and thinking a little bit about it, I was like, this cannot be just fat. That is impossible. You cannot gain 2 kilograms, especially because I didn't really change my food intake. I wasn't eating, you know, I wasn't coming home and binging on potato chips all of a sudden. So I was like, this has to be something else. And I think it's water. It has to be water. And what I think happened is that because of the fact that I skipped a night, my body started to, you know, be all messed up and all confused, and it started to retain lots and lots of water. And perhaps it could also be because of the change in, well, the whole change in rhythm and change in lifestyle. I don't know. Somehow my body was messing up the water system, and so I'm still hoping to lose these pounds as fast as possible, but I'll keep you up to date. And what the first thing I did was, okay, I'm going to count calories again, and I am going to work out like never before. And so I went out to run for an hour, and I did my PN90X routines even with more energy than before. And so hopefully that will be enough. But anyway, I'll keep you up to date. Now, one thing that might also have contributed to this weight gain again, and it's not dramatic. I'm still, you know, perfectly in the safe zone for my length, but still, I don't like to gain weight. Actually, two things might have contributed to this. One is that the first day that I was in the Czech Republic, I went out for a run, and I ran for about an hour, a little bit more than an hour. The thing that, I felt great, and it's beautiful over there. It's just running on these hills and in the woods, and it's gorgeous. However, what I didn't notice was that a lot of this running was downhill and uphill. And so when I came home, I felt great. And the next morning, I couldn't walk anymore. And so I had strained my Achilles heel again. Happened in the past as well. And I think it's because of the, you know, the hills. And so I had to take it easy. And so I couldn't run for the rest of the holiday. And now I can run again. What I learned in the past is never force it. Just take it easy. Rest. Let your muscles restore itself and rebuild itself, and then, you know, slowly build it up again. So now it can run, no problem. So that's, I think, and running is a very efficient way to burn calories. So perhaps the lack of running has also messed up my balance a little bit, especially because it stopped so suddenly. The second thing is, I do believe that I'm gaining a little bit of muscle weight. Now, That is a risky thing to always blame weight gain on muscle growth, because it's usually just a little. That is a very gradual process. But I can see the difference after a couple of weeks of P90X. I can definitely see that my arms are growing. I mean, my chest is definitely growing, and in a good way. I mean, it's getting very ripped because of all the, you know, the extra resistance training that I do, and so yeah, muscle tissue is heavy. So I think that is also contributing a little bit, but it can never, you know, amount to four extra pounds. That's impossible. I should look like Arnold Schwarzenegger if that were the case, which is not yet. I'm not yet there, and probably I will never get there. But oh well. So that's kind of to wrap it up. My overview of at least my experiences during this vacation of trying to continue a healthy lifestyle even when you're not at home, even when you're out of your day-to-day routine and when you don't have your own fridge. And the thing is, and that might be the summary of the past 45 minutes, is stay awake. Don't give up on a healthy lifestyle if the things around you change, but stay faithful to the healthy decisions that you made. Stay faithful to that paradigm shift, and even if you fall off the wagon, pick yourself up immediately afterwards. That, I mean, it's not in failing The problem is not failing. The problem is giving up. You know, if you fail, we all fail in this process. But the thing that you need to do is train yourself to pick yourself up immediately afterwards, and try again and try again. And the more you do that, the better you'll get at it. All right. So since I've been talking for almost 50 minutes now, I'll have to reschedule the feedback from the listeners to another show. Hopefully I won't let you wait as long as you had to wait for this update, this Healthy Catholic Show number, is it 11? Yeah, it's 11 already. So I'll be a little bit more regular in producing these updates. One final thing before we say goodbye is a very positive thing during this vacation was the regularity in prayer, because we were always praying in the car. And you've got this life where you have extra time to read. So I read a lot of theology, had extra time for prayer, and also that is just great. It just really helps me find my spiritual balance, and that gives a lot of energy. Now that I'm back, I can definitely see the difference, or feel the difference. So I can also encourage that. Thanks for listening. See you next time, and God bless.
SQPN. Leading the way in Catholic new media.